So the title of my message is Take a Step. Take a Step. And probably the most famous step, well, one of the most famous steps would be Neil Armstrong's step when he stepped onto the moon. And what did he say? I wrote it down here. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He took a step. Woo-hoo. One step. A step is quite powerful. And I just sense, and the reason I felt to talk about take a step was, I think over the last few months, with having us all actually take a step back in life, you know, like you've been shut up in your house for a little while, and or you've just had this slowdown. The rat race has stopped. The rat got off the little turning thing for a little while. Although some of you probably felt like you were more busy in that than other, but there was a change. And in that moment of change, in that feeling of change, then you get a moment to go, okay, what's important in my life? What am I doing? I suppose you even sum up some things and go, do I really need to keep doing this? Maybe this thing that I've been doing is not as important as I thought it was. I know Eleanor and I looked at a few things, and Eleanor's sort of going, oh, I'm going to stop this and stop this now. I'm going to just take a bit of a step back, because sometimes I think you just get busy. And it was a really good moment to go, hold on, you know, what's important? The only thing with that is that sometimes I think we step back from what God's called us to. So in stepping back, we step back to go, okay, what's good for me and what will just help me feel a little bit better about everything? And in doing that, we step out at times of doing what God's called us to do. And my encouragement today is about, okay, yeah, I do think there's some things to step back from, but I also think there's some things we need to step into. So you've got to step up, step in, step into things. Step into your vision. Because look, what happens is when you stop doing something, you tend to, I'm going to use the word seize up. I'm not old, but I am old, okay? I'm sort of there. And I've just found with my body that it just doesn't seem to be able to do the things it used to be able to do. I know you'll find this hard to believe, but I used to be able to do a standing backflip. A standing backflip. Yeah, I know. Could I do that now? No way. Try it, thanks. there's a whole lot of things I used to be able to do, but I'm finding as I get older, they're getting harder to do. And if I stop doing them, it's very hard to get back to doing them. I mean, I didn't go to the gym for 2 months, 3 months. And can I tell you, it's been hard going to the gym. It just takes a while to get back to that mark. And I think that's the same in life. You know, sometimes we stop doing things. You know, good on you, you're in church. You know, some people, they'll have got out of the habit of church and they'll just fill their life with something else. Good on you. But we've got to keep thinking, okay, what do I need to step into? What do I need to keep moving in my life so that I don't lose it? Don't lose that motivation. Don't stop doing those things that God's called you to do. You know, constantly in the scripture, God is telling people to move. You think about it. Abraham, you know, he says, I want you to move and go to, you know, leave T-something, and go, do some movement, move somewhere. Even in Psalm 23, David's talking in a psalm, and he says, even though I walk through the valley, there's the momentum, you just keep going through the valley. You know, too many times we stop, and we stand still in the valley, or we sit down in the valley. You won't get through the valley if you sit down. If you just keep moving, keep that movement going in your life. Now, it says to lie down in the green pastures, and rest is a good thing. But when you're in that valley, you need to keep moving. Jesus told people, like, what did he say? He said, stretch out your hand. Have you ever thought if the man hadn't stretched out his hand, would he have got healed? You know, Jesus didn't say, I'm just going to heal it. He said, do something. stretch out your hand. And in the motion of doing something, his hand was healed. You know, even Peter and John, you know, with the guy coming into the gate, he says, you know, I don't have any money or anything like that, but stand up. What I give you, stand, make a movement. And as the guy stands up, he gets healed. There is something in us that we need to do something. Moses is standing at the Red Sea. You know, they're trapped. They got the Egyptian army right on their tail. They're standing right there. And God says, lift up your staff. Now, I know it's not much, but if he hadn't lifted up the staff, would it have opened? There is some interaction between us making a step, doing something towards it. And, you know, so many stories. Elijah saying to Naaman, go wash in the pool and dip seven times in the river, the Jordan River. Go dip. He needed to do something that triggered and changed something in his life. You and I, there's things God's telling us to do. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. He even told the disciples to go. Go. You need to just actually start going. And in that zone, I feel God just suddenly responds to our action to what we do. We need to take a step. And for all of us here, I go, what is your next step that God's asking you to take? What is the step that he's saying, hey, I need you just to step? Because if you stand still, I think you go backwards. Right. If you stand still, I think you go back. We need a step. We need to take a step of faith. We need to take a step. What's the step that God's saying for you to take? In James chapter 2, verse 14, and I think this is the New Living, or it could be the NIV, actually. I don't know. It's one of those versions. You can have a look. Read both. Let me start. Verse 14, James 2, 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, so that's all of us here today, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Now, salvation is a free gift from God. Okay, so you receive salvation by faith. You know, one of the problems in a sense to people that are what I'd call nominal Christians that sort of know a little bit about God will sometimes say, well, I've got to be good to get to God. But your actions are not going to get you to God. God forgives your sin by faith. By faith we accept forgiveness. But what this is saying, that if that faith is real, out of it will come some actions. Now, that's not the actions don't save you, but because you believe something, you outwork it. You step and you do whatever that is God's calling. When you've asked Jesus into your life, he changes you, he speaks to you, and you accept it by faith and you begin to change. So often we say we believe something, but if there's no action, then your question is, do we really? And my dad, one of his favorite illustrations, I know this because I've heard it hundreds of times as a kid, okay, was about the guy on the tightrope walking across Niagara Falls. How many people have heard the story of the guy walking across Niagara Falls? Oh, look, a whole lot of you haven't heard it. Let me tell you. So guy, I think his name was Blondie or something like that, all right? He puts a tightrope across Niagara Falls. And he walks across, like he asks everybody, how many people think I can do this? And they go, yeah, you can do it. There's a big crowd there. So he walks across it, you know, has one of those things, which I don't know what those things are, but pole, you know, walks across, does his thing. You know, go, yay, yay, walks back, yay, he's amazing. And then he goes, oh, do you think I could go across with the wheelbarrow? And they go, yes, of course you can, yeah. And he does that, he goes across with the wheelbarrow and he comes back and he goes, and they all go, wow, that's amazing. And then he says, do you think I could go across in a wheelbarrow with somebody in the wheelbarrow? And they go, yes, yeah, I bet you could. Would someone like to get into the wheelbarrow? No. Because you can say, yeah, that's what I believe. But getting into the wheelbarrow, it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? See, but our actions, what we do, is a reflection of our faith. Yeah, that's right. So all your actions reflect your faith in God. What you do is a reflection of what you believe. Your beliefs are shown by your actions. And you know, this is one of the, I think, the challenges to us. Because we're all really good at the yeah. We're all good at the talk. But what about the action? Does your actions match your faith? Or does your faith match your actions? Verse 15 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? So he's going, here's the illustration. What's good is it if you say, hey, I hope everything goes well to you. I hope things go well. And the person still has the need. It's a nice thing to say, but that doesn't change the needs of the person. And he's saying that's what faith is. Sometimes we say all these things, but we're not connecting it to the action. The action shows what I believe. You guys, you're at church today. Great, good on you. What is that? That action shows you believe that, hey, it's good to come to church and I can receive something from God. Your actions are an outworking of your faith. Verse 17. In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by, sorry, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Faith with no actions is dead. And I think at times there's a lot of dead faith. It's not very nice, Alan. This is Sunday, you've got to be lifting me up. Okay, take a step. Verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God? Good. It's sort of a little bit, he's a little bit sarky here, I reckon, old James. Good, good for you. Even the devil, demons believe that. They believe in God, and they even shudder. You foolish people. Oh, sorry. We shouldn't say that, really, should we? But it is there. So, you foolish people, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son? I've gone and lost the word. Offered his son Isaac on the altar. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. Yeah. You know, our faith and our actions need to be working together. His actions showed his faith. So again, my question comes back to you is, do your actions line up with what you believe? Is your faith actually being outworked in what you believe? Or is some of it just, I think this is what I believe. No, our faith, our actions should reflect our belief. Verse 22, you see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Right. I was saying in the earlier one, if I got a dead body up here, you just can't do that, really. It's, you know, if you wanted the illustrated, so you just can't get a dead body. But if I had a dead body up here, it's got no spirit. The body's dead because there's no spirit in it. So it's the same with us. You and I are dead if our faith has no actions. That's what he's trying to say. He's saying, look, you can't have one without, you can't have a living body with a spirit and alive unless you got your faith actually working. Your faith is dead if it's not been worked out in the actions that you do. James 2 in one of the other versions said, you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It's dead and useless. So your action doesn't save you. It's not salvation. Salvation we accept by faith. But out of our faith in God, we live a life that shows that we trust in God. I was challenged on reading through Chronicles, and I can't remember where it was. I was thinking about it in the service before. Asa, the king, he gets sick and he goes to the physicians, and God says to him, "You're going to die because you never came to me." And I thought, yeah, so his faith was in the physicians. Now, I believe in the physicians without doubt. I believe, hey, go use the physicians. But my question is do I go to God first? You know, or do I quickly just go get the Panadol out of the pantry first? Or do I go, "God, can you heal me?" See, God was not upset that he went to the physicians. God was upset, "Why didn't you come unto me?" See, in our actions, if you say, "I believe in healing, and I have faith in that, and faith that God heals," then your first response will be, "Yes, I'm going to ask God first." Because your actions are a reflection of what you believe. "Hey, I've got a problem. Things aren't going well. God, I need your help." You are going to pray. So your prayer life is a reflection of your faith. If you don't pray, that's a reflection that maybe you don't have faith. Our actions are telling us what we believe. You know, so every now and again, you've sort of got to do this funny little thing where you look at your actions. I don't know how you do it, but you have a look at yourself. So here's my questions. What is your faith producing? You know, is your faith producing something? Is your life producing something? What are you doing? Faith leads to action. What are your actions? What are you doing? Action creates momentum. We need to take a step. We need to step forward. We need to do something. You know, and look, a lot of times that initial step is the one that takes the most energy. They talk about rockets going into space. 95% of their fuel and energy is trying to get it up out of the atmosphere, out of the Earth's atmosphere. Then it's okay. It's that inertia. Getting things going is the same for us. You know, I often find, you know, some things that you do in, say, in life, maybe connect group or going to church, often that half an hour before, you sort of, I don't know what it is, you suddenly feel, if you're at home on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, you just feel, "Oh, maybe I won't go tonight." How many people have had that feeling before? But you make that step and you go, "Right, I'm just going," and you get in your car. And when you get there, you go, "Man, I'm so glad I came," because it was, but it's that step. You got to take a step. You know, you got to take a step of faith. If you want to see God move, you've got to take a step. If we don't take a step, we don't go anywhere. Look, one of our values is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Led is an outworking of action. It's not, I don't want us just to hear from the Holy Spirit. Because just hearing is not enough. You got to hear and do. So I'm led by the Holy Spirit. I'm listening and then I'm taking a step. And look, every time I take a step, it's scary. But that's what faith is. My faith is matched by my actions. My actions show that I trust God. When's the last time you took a step of faith? When's the last time you said, "Okay, can I pray for you?" When's the last time you said to someone, "Hey, I've got a little bit of a word for you," sent them a text or done something? They all take a little bit of a step, but we've got to make that step of faith. If we're led by the Holy Spirit, then we're going to do it. Just as a little bit of confession, just to make us all feel good. How many people had the Holy Spirit prompt you to do something and not done it? Just look around, you'll feel much comfortable. Yeah. Look, we've all been in that way, but what that growth is that you go, "Okay, when it comes around again, I'm going to do it," and you have to take a step. You know, look, in church, you know, we've got to take steps. We've got to take steps, and you know, one of the things that I suppose over the last few years we've looked at church is sometimes I think we've got too busy. We've just done stuff, and they've been good things, but it just sometimes takes a whole lot of energy and it just becomes stuff. And we've really gone back and we said, "God, what do you want us to do? What's really important?" And really for me, there's three things. The first one is Sunday services is what I think is really important. I think it's important for the church family to come together. I think, you know, just even over this period, not coming together, as much as I try to do it at home, coming together and seeing you and giving you a hug and saying hi and connecting, you can't produce that at home the same. It's just not the same. There's something about coming together. And people, I mean, I love people getting saved in other places, but often people get saved in church. So our thing is Sunday services is about people coming together, presence of God, connecting with people, and seeing people get saved. That's how, if you said to me, Alan, if there's only one thing the church was doing, what would it be? It'd be Sunday services. I feel they're the most important. Now, with that, I go, I want everybody to be involved in Sunday services. If you go, this is my church, I'm part of this, then I'm going, hey, I want you to get involved. I want you to do something on a Sunday. So that might be if you're musical, you join the worship band, or sound, or we're doing cameras now. You might go, well, I'm really good at filming stuff, mate. Is that you? Might be good at kids. You might not be good at kids, but you might be good at kids. You might have been good at kids, but you might go, I can host. I want everybody to be involved on a Sunday. I just think it's part of being part of the family. In our family, everyone does jobs. Everyone does jobs. Andre takes the compost to the compost bin every day. Oh, isn't that good? Isn't that good? Someone has to set the table. Someone does the dishes. How many people do the dishes? See, we all do jobs. How many people do not do the dishes? Just okay. Oh, the dishwasher. I confess, I don't do putting in the dishwasher because I can't quite do it properly. I just don't quite put it in the right places. It looks all right to me, but it then needs readjusting. But we've all got to do stuff. We've all got to do stuff. That's part. So it's the same in the church family. And my encouragement to you is, hey, what are you doing? Doing that action. And I am convinced as we do some of these actions, God speaks to us. And as we're doing something with somebody else, they suddenly connect with us or talk to us about something. And suddenly, that's how it's a living. It's an action. And look, I say to people, look, if you're new to church or if you're going to any church and it's your first time and once you've chosen where you're going, get involved. I even say to people, look, get more involved at the beginning than maybe what you're intending to in the long run. Because the best way to get part of a church is to get involved. So go, hey, I'll go and host. You'll meet more people on hosts and chat to people than you will if you just come. I go, everybody comes. Now, look, there is a point of time where some people need a rest. We've all got to, at some stage, sit on the bench. Maybe there's something happened, but the purpose is not to sit on the bench forever and have everybody look after you. At some stage, you've got to get off the bench and get back into the game. So all of us need to go, hey, what can I do? What's God calling me? What's my place? And I just know that the people that get involved, for some reason, it does something for them. And it connects them in. So Sunday services, you know, and we've got lots of services. You could serve at one, attend another, but be involved. Yeah. Be involved. Now, I think there is a proviso. Ellen always says, look, if someone's over a certain age, I can't remember what it was. Maybe it was 100. No, no, it is a bit lower than that. Okay, you're right. But 95, okay. No, but look, and you might have a reason you can't. I'm okay with that, but be involved. Be proactive. The second thing is be in a connect group. And Josh did a good talk about that. Look, I just think they're really important. Being in a connect group. It's the best way to connect with people. And our connect groups have a whole lot of different ones, courses. You know, if you're really new, why don't you try Alpha? That's a great course to do. And then the third thing for me is that I think everyone should have some sort of ministry they do. Something that they're passionate about. Now, it may be your connect group. They may be one and the same thing. But is there something you're passionate about? Maybe it's outward and focus, and you've got a passion for something in the community. Every one of us, I feel, should be doing something to make a difference. Whatever that is. And look, there's different times. You can't do everything. And again, like I say, some of us need to take a back step from all our busyness. But I also go, man, if God's called you to do something, don't stop doing it. Yeah. Step into it. So what's God saying for you? Step in. Take a step. If you want to see people get healed, you've got to take a step. You've got to pray for people. If you don't pray for anyone, no one will get healed. Take a risk. Take a step. Why don't you close your eyes? God, I'm just so thankful that, Lord, you're so amazing. You use us. It's quite phenomenal that with all our mistakes, all our blemishes, all the things we do wrong, you still choose to use us. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to live our faith, that our faith wouldn't be hidden, but Lord, we would live. And Lord, I pray our belief and our faith in you would expand and grow. Yes, Lord, that we'd be continually taking steps. Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just feel this is for someone. I sensed it last in the service before, but I just sense it again. And you're thinking about doing a business, and all the words are, mate, the economy's going bad, and that rhetoric's out there. But if you've heard from God, it may be the right time for you to take that step. You might want to get advice, but I just feel sometimes we step back when God's saying step forward. Step out in faith. Believe God. If God's spoken to you, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd continue to speak to us, help us.